On behalf of the World Affairs Council, I am Maureen Blanc, your moderator. It is now my pleasure to introduce today's distinguished guest. Paul Gilding is an independent writer, advisor, and advocate for action on climate change and sustainability. An activist and social entrepreneur for 35 years, his personal mission and purpose is to lead, inspire, and motivate action globally on the transition of society and the economy to sustainability. He pursues this purpose across all sectors, working around the world with individuals, businesses, NGOs, entrepreneurs, academia, and government. He has served as CEO of a range of innovative NGOs and companies, including Greenpeace International, Ecos Corporation, and Easy Being Green. Here to discuss his latest work, The Great Disruption, Why the Climate Crisis Will Bring an End of Shopping and the Birth of a New World. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome Paul Gilding.
G'day, and thank you, Maureen. I want to take you kind of very big picture. I want you to think about the world, not in the context of today, but think about it in terms of not today or tomorrow, but the whole of human civilization, because really the issues that we're talking about here and I want to talk to you about are very big picture, very long term. So we're kind of want to get your mindset into that kind of process. To give you a moment to think about that, the core conclusions I've come to in this book have come from 35 years of focus in the area. So in that 35 years, having worked across the NGO community with, you know, some pretty traditional radical direct action activism, through to being in the military in Australia, through to being an advisor to many global companies, including DuPont and Ford, and, you know, big global companies at the CEO chairman level on business strategy, means I come at this issue with a diverse range of experience, but also therefore a diverse range of perspectives and ways of thinking about the issue. So the reason that's important to me is because I've really spent a lot of time in recent years leading to this book reflecting on how we're going. Right? So where have we come to, what's our level of progress on the issue, and how are we seeing it today, and are we seeing it the right way today? And my conclusion is that in even though we look at each crisis, and we tend to look at crises a lot, don't we? We like a good crisis, whether it's a Fukushima-type nuclear reactor, whether it's a war, whether it's a conflict or uprising in Egypt, whether it's a global food issue caused around droughts in Russia, extraordinary weather, which seems to be an increasingly frequent phenomena. In my own country, we had floods recently, which covered an area the size of France and Germany. So really, we look at each crisis and we stay fascinated by that short-term crisis because we're very good at short-term thinking, right? And we can stay focused on that sort of crisis, often for as long as 2 or 3 days before we get bored, usually encouraged by media with an attention span designed kind of around ours, and we tend then to move on. But the point of that is that we look at each crisis, and everything I talk to you about in terms of each individual problem, you'll all be aware of. But the point of the book is not to look at each individual problem. The point of the book is to say what's going on at a big picture. So how does this all come together? And my conclusion, which is also the opening line of the book, is that my conclusion is the Earth is full. Right? So the Earth is full is really a very important statement and a very important conclusion, which, if it's right, and we'll discuss whether tonight whether it is or not in your view, but if it's right, then it has absolutely profound implications for our future as a civilization. So let's just explore what that means, because if the Earth is full, then everything we're currently doing to make our impact on the Earth bigger, which is our plan and our intention and our ruthless focus and determination, then that's not going to work. Right? So the very idea is that the Earth is full, and therefore our model of progress, i.e. economic growth, right, is fundamentally threatened by that concept. So let's just explore that for a few moments. So when I say the Earth is full, I don't mean that as a kind of rhetorical flourish. I don't mean, you know, we're a bit big or it's a bit uncomfortable or it's sort of symbolically full. I mean it's full, right? Now what that means is that the impact that we're having on society, our society is having on the environment, on the Earth, is at or past the Earth's capacity to support that. And that's measured in very many direct ways. And this is, remember, not philosophy, this is physics, right? Chemistry, biology, very basic things for which the rules are very firmly set and are not negotiable, even for New York investment bankers. And they are absolutely set, and therefore we can't, you know, Mother Nature doesn't negotiate. So let's just look at that particular issue. There are many ways of looking at that. So the first, I think, and the most important one, because it simplifies the issue in a very powerful one. I met the scientists there just yesterday, actually. I went and saw them at the Global Footprint Network. Now, what they do is they have a lot of people, amazingly, I was actually surprised how many there were, analysing every day, right, what the total environmental resource is that we need to support this economy. So again, let's be clear, I'm talking about ecosystem services, the capacity of the earth to support us, not the impact of that nice place we go and visit on weekends, right? So this is actually the underpinning of the economy. And what they do is they translate that impact into footprint, right? Global Footprint Network, and they translate that impact into acres of land that we need to support that economy. And that's a very, again, practical issue of food supply, right, of CO2 absorption, of water filtration, right, of air cleansing, of, you know, fibre, of a whole range of fisheries, of a whole range of things that we use to keep our economy strong, right? What does that look like? And their conclusion is that we're currently using the Earth's sustainable supply at about 150% of capacity. So, you know, simply put, we're using 1.5 Earths, right, to support this economy. Now, one would ask, well, how is that possible? Why hasn't it fallen apart yet? And one can argue it is falling apart, but we'll come back to that. Why it's not falling apart, is the same reason that you can live on your credit card for quite a long time, right? And most of us have tried that at various times. Some of us eventually work out that it doesn't work. But if you live on your credit card for a while, then life actually feels pretty good, right? And you can go out to dinner, you can go to shows, you can buy things, you can do the stuff that you like, and your credit card gets larger and larger if you can't pay it off. And if you do that beyond your income, eventually it stops, right? Because eventually the credit card bill is called in, and if you can't afford it, then you lose the house. And at this point, with a 1.5 Earth economy, we're in danger of losing the big house. Right? And that means is that the debt is being called in, and the debt is being paid now in terms of the impact. So that's just one way of looking at it, as I say, the Global Footprint work. But really importantly in terms, and we can discuss the measurement of this if you'd like to in questions, but everyone who looks at this issue from that point of view of ecosystem services comes to the same conclusion. So whenever a group of scientists, another example would be the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment. So that was 2,000 scientists looked at all the best science on ecosystem services. They analysed it and said we have 25 basic services that we as humans take from the environment, fisheries for food, land for growing food, for grazing cattle on, growing fibre, etc., etc. And we have 25 of those ecosystem services, and 16 out of the 25 are being used unsustainably. Now, again, terminology is important here. So when we say unsustainable, it sounds like that's not a nice thing to do. And it's actually a lot worse than not nice. What it means, if you don't do something sustainably, it stops happening. Right, so really important, unsustainable means it will not keep happening. So what that means is that if we do something unsustainably in terms of taking resources from the environment to support our economy, and we can't keep on doing that, at some point it stops happening. Now, if that's a thing we can easily replace, not a big problem. We find a new technology, a new resource, etc. But at some point the total impact across the economy gets so large that you can't replace it, and that becomes the issue. So the point of all that is to say, you know, that's the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment, the Global Footprint Network work, the example of in Nature magazine recently from the Stockholm Resilience Centre looking at system boundaries. Anytime anyone looks at the whole Earth system from a human point of view, their conclusion is it's being used unsustainably. So that's what I call in the book, and this is an Australian scientific term, but I'll translate it for you. I call that the very big problem. Now, a very big problem is very big, right? But it doesn't sound that scary because it's actually not that big. It's just very big, right? And very big is 150% of